going to reach their financial goals of their corporation. They're going to fire you. They're going to replace you with technology. So it's unfortunate that they believe that if you raise the minimum wage, it's going to somehow have a positive effect. We have seen this historically have a negative effect on low-skilled workers. Thomas Sowell laid it out very succinctly.
Tatum was speaking there on Fox News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Hunterdon. This is Larry McEntee, and this is Health and Home. Larry McEntee from Home Team Inspection Service. I own a company called Home Team Inspection. We do inspections on properties, usually before they buy. You can reach me at lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E @hometeam.com. Or you can call 973-547-7748 to arrange an inspection. You'll also speak with Jennifer if you call that number between 9 and 5, and she'll be able to help you with any inspection you need, whether it's septic, water, well, or the home inspection. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about extinguishers a little later. Next week, we're going to have a mortgage broker on, and we're going to talk about mortgages. And if you're as confused as I am about what's out there and all the vehicles that are available to you, hopefully, Archie Fisher will be with me, and we'll talk about mortgages, what's available, VHA, VA loans, standard 30-year, 15 years, what's the best thing to do, and how to get your feet wet. So if you're looking to buy new and you're a new buyer, tune in next week, and we'll do that. The week after, we're going to have a pest company come on and talk about pests. If you're like me, I get field mice every fall, and I can't get rid of them. I catch them in the trap, unfortunately, but then they go away and they don't come back for another year. But I still can't find out how they come in, so I'm dying to talk to these guys and figure out how best to make my house pest-free. But we'll talk about termites, carpenter ants, and sort of some of the normal pests that you may be incurring. So if you have any questions about that or you want any answers, again, email me at lmcentee@hometeam.com, and I'll be sure to get it on the air and we'll ask them the questions. As I do every week, we talk a little bit about my past or my history, just to give you a little brief overview of what I did and where I came from. I spent 9 years on the Board of Education, and lately the Board of Ed around the state have taken a little heat because of the cutbacks in the state funding, and some districts are laying off people. I was listening to 101.5 the other day, and they were really bashing the superintendent in Hillsborough for laying off 37 teachers to make ends meet. What they don't understand, and this is what kind of is the frustrating part, and I understand it because before I got on the Board of Ed, I didn't understand it. So it's easy to understand why people are confused and what the budget is. But when the state cuts the budget, you have to make it up somewhere. And I understand Hillsborough lost over $1 million. And when you have to make up over $1 million, you got to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from personnel. A lot of your costs are fixed. They're set by contract. Or they're set by debt consolidation. I mean, you have buildings to pay for. You have energy costs. You can't not pay the energy bill this week. So understand that, you know, that sometimes their hands are tied. And the biggest thing that you can cut is personnel. And unfortunately, that hits the kids right in the teeth. People say, oh, well, you can get rid of sports, or you get rid of this, you get rid of that. Well, when I was on the board, we had to make cuts. We could get rid of every sport there was in the district, and we still wouldn't have had nearly the money we needed to make ends meet. And understand, the school board cannot operate in a deficit. They can only spend what they get. So you have to have a zero-based budget. You can't go into debt. So it's not like you can fund it with next year's money or generate revenue, because there's no place to generate revenue. There's some areas, but there's very little ways to generate revenue. So it does come out on personnel. And then people say, well, you're taking it on the lowest paid teachers. Well, you have to do that because the rules of the union say this is seniority, so you can't take it out on the old teachers. You get the last one in is the first one out. And sometimes that's a disappointment because some of the best teachers are the newest teachers. But, you know, that's the way it goes, and you just can't make the money up. So the people were screaming about, well, why is he laying off teachers? He should take a cut in his salary. He could take a zero salary, and it would save, what, three positions, two positions? If he's laying off 36 teachers, it has nothing to do with his salary. Trust me. That's the other area. His income. He's making $200,000 a year. He signed a $1 million contract for 5 years. That's $200,000 a year. and people are going nuts over it. You know, we paid a superintendent a very handsome sum in Mount Olive, and she was worth it. You know, it wasn't $200,000 at the time. It's probably there now. But, you know, $200,000 is not a lot of money to run a whole district. And some people say, well, we have too many districts. Maybe there shouldn't be superintendents. How many years are willing to give up home rule? I don't know. But can you imagine having to go to the county seat every time you needed an answer from the superintendent and you're competing with 10,000 other people from all over the county instead of having your home superintendent to be able to go to and ask the questions? I can't imagine going to Morristown and sitting there at a Board of Ed meeting when you have the whole 21 districts in Morris County competing for time and attention. So understand there's truth and consequences to everything. And some people point out Florida, you know, they have one superintendent per county, but they have 20, they'll have 50 assistant superintendents making $200,000. So tell me the difference. I don't know. It's a big difference when you're on the board, and that's another reason. I believe in term limits because I think the more people that serve on these boards and understand and get educated by the other side, they become ambassadors, and they're out there now, and they're talking about it, and they're answering their neighbors' questions. They're not blind by it. They understand the other side of it. Too often we get people on the board, and they're there forever. It's time for term limits all the way around. There shouldn't be term limits in everywhere. I served my 3 terms, and I was happy not to serve another one. I did miss it, but you know what? I didn't need the ego boost in a sense, but I also, you know, get somebody else up there, get them a chance to be involved and learn something, and maybe they have some new ideas that I didn't. So when we come back, we're going to talk about extinguishers today, something that's in everybody's house, but I bet you don't know what you have. We're going to go there, and we'll do the weather, and then we'll be back. Hang on.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Okay, I'm back with the weather. Today it's partly cloudy with a high of 62 and a low of 54. Tomorrow, cloudy again, but with a high of 73 and a low of 54. Sunday brings in some showers into Flemington at 57 degrees with a low of 49. Monday and Tuesday, we start seeing partly cloudy with highs around 75 and lows around 60 degrees. Wednesday and Thursday of this week, we see more showers. Headed into next weekend, it looks like more clouds and more rain with a nice day on Sunday. But hopefully we'll get some of that nicer weather instead of these clouds. But I still think, guys, I say it every week, I still look at the weather across the country, and I look at the tornadoes hitting the Midwest and the floods hitting the South. I guess I'll take the cloudy skies. At least we're not looking at disasters in New Jersey right now, and some parts of the country are hurting pretty bad. All right, we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunter and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back again. Okay, today we're going to talk about something that's in everybody's house. You probably have one. You don't know how old it is, I bet. You had to have one if you sold your house recently because that's one of the things they do check for. One of the things they check in almost every town in the state is they check for a carbon monoxide detector, they check for fire alarms, smoke alarms, and they check for an extinguisher. One of the things that was happening that the state legislator actually looked at, taking the extinguisher portion out of it, because they really don't want people fighting fires. They want them to get out and call 911, which makes a lot of sense in most cases, so consider that. But let's talk about extinguishers a little bit. Most of you remember there are classifications of extinguishers. Everybody knows A, B, C, but there are more. There are A, B, C, D, K. Basically, and you should know what the classes are, because if you fight the fire with the wrong extinguisher, you could create more problems. I attended a fire class today, the Morris County Fire Academy, actually, from ServPro ran it, and it was talking about combustibles and things that happen in the home. Class A fire is ordinary combustible materials like cloth, wood, paper, rubber, plastics, and a extinguisher rated as an A extinguisher is geared for that. Class B fires are considered liquids, gasoline, alcohol, oil-based paints, lacquers, thinners, things like that. So you need that type of an extinguisher. So if you have a grease fire or you have a gasoline fire, make sure the extinguisher says B on it. Some of them have multiple ones. Don't attempt to fight a fire that involving flammable gas unless there's a reasonable assurance you can shut the gas off. What I mean by that is, say you walk outside and your gas meter's leaking and there's flames coming out of it. You don't want to put it out unless you know you can shut it off, because it's probably better off burning off and you getting out of the area and calling the authorities to come, because they'll extinguish it when they shut the gas off. As a matter of fact, one of the best ways to shut off a flammable fire from gas is to cut the fuel source. For instance, if your grill was burning and it was, you know, coming out of the burners and it was uncontrollable, if you could shut the tank off, that would be the best way to extinguish it. What you don't want to do is, you know, use an extinguisher and put out the flames and have that gas continue to leak, because that gas will find another ignition source before you can shut it off and possibly even cause an explosion. So understand that fuel leaks are best left for the professionals, unless you can cut the source off. And then Class C extinguishers, Class C is designed for energized electrical equipment. So basically they're talking about, you know, it's something like a TV or a computer. You'll find most Class C extinguishers, you know, that in the homes you're finding more and more electronics. So, you know, because the houses are run by them, you have computers everywhere. And sometimes they fight Class C fires with special, like halon or an oxygen-depriving thing. That's why if you're in an office situation where they have a computer room and the alarm goes off, typically they give you a 30-second delay before they displace the oxygen in the room. So if you're in a computer room and you hear an alarm, get out, because the chemicals may not going to hurt you, but the fact that they're going to lack of oxygen might. So understand the Class C. Most extinguishers you can find are A, B, C. They're rated for each of those. Class D fire is a metal fire. Most people will never come across that, but that's basically such things as magnesium, titanium, sodium. And Class D extinguishers are very expensive to use, but they're necessary, because sometimes the common extinguisher agents cause a metal fire to flare up. It even happened. I was in the fire company, as you all know, but we had a car fire, and it was a Volkswagen and had a titanium engine block. Well, we opened up the hose on it, and the water hit the engine, and it flared up like white-hot metal. I mean, it looked like the sun. And we realized that we were fighting an engine block fire that was literally, the metal was burning. So guess what? We put it out. Larry Ashley was actually the chief at the time. We got a shovel, and we dug the dirt and the gravel off the side of the road and threw it in the engine compartment and put the fire out that way. So consider that as it's a little bit different. And then you have a Class K extinguisher. That's involving vegetable oils, animal oils, or fats in cooking. Typically, these are related to commercial kitchens. Those are the type of extinguishers you'll find over the deep fryer at McDonald's or at the Chinese restaurant or anywhere where there's you know, heavy fats and oils. What you want is a multi-purpose. You want an ABC extinguisher in the house, more than likely, because a BC is great for the liquids and the electrical equipment, but it's not too good on the wood and the fire. So you want an ABC rated equipment from there. Now, some people ask, how long is a fire extinguisher good for? Well, you know, it depends on the manufacturer. Most of them are good between 5 and 10 years, but you do want to read the extinguisher and read the information from the manufacturer. Some of them can be recertified. Some of them can't be. There are different kinds of extinguishers, too. You can have foam, water, CO2. Now, a water extinguisher is usually a larger can, and it's under pressure. It's pressurized water, and it squirts water, and it's good for basically your traditional fire, but not for your grease fire. So if you put water on a grease fire, you're going to cause it to flare up. You've all seen those videos; they're all over the internet of people putting turkeys, you know, a wet turkey into a oil fire. It flares up, hits the flames, and it actually will combust even harder. We had the demonstration today. They showed us a frying pan full of oil that was burning on the stove. Then we threw water on it, and it just flared up. So that's an interesting part of it. I'm trying to get you here. you know, so be careful how you fight fires. You got to know what you're doing. And then the normal fire extinguisher, an ABC extinguisher, and it's got a dry chemical in it. And if you've ever squirted it, it's not like the movies. Don't squirt people in the face with it. It's not a healthy thing to be breathing. It gets into your lungs. It's a very tight, light powder. It gets over everything. So you don't want to discharge it unless you have to. But there's a question now is when do you use the fire extinguisher? Or, you know, we'll get to that in a second. Hold on. If you have a kiddie fire extinguisher in your house, just for an example, there's a kiddie has a recall out there for fire extinguishers. They've been recalling their extinguishers, and you can go online at kiddie.com and find out if your extinguisher is in there. And if you qualify, what you do is you file the paperwork. They send you a new extinguisher in a box and a sticker, return sticker, and you plop your old extinguisher in the box and send it back. I got four new extinguishers. My extinguishers were good, probably 20, some of them 15 to 20 years old, and Kitty sent me four brand new ones because I had them. All of them were in the list to be recalled. So if you have a Kitty fire extinguisher, that's a K-I-D-D-E. I think it's Kitty or Kid. Check the internet and check the extinguisher and see if you're eligible for the recall. When we come back, we'll talk about how to fight a fire with an extinguisher. You may think you know about it, but there's also time to fight, and there's a time to run. Fight or flight is what they call it. So we'll do that when we get back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, I'm back. This is Larry McAtee. We're going to talk about fight or flight with fire extinguishers because, I mean, everybody has them in the house. They're required. If you have one, you should check it. If people say, when should I check it? Well, the paperwork says you should check it monthly, but realistically, if you check it twice a year, I think you'd be better than the average guy out there. You do want to put them in a place where you see them. It's much the same as you'll be surprised how many times you look at that little green gauge and you'll notice if it's not there, if it's out in the open where you can see it, where you walk by it. I happen to have one by my office. I have one in the basement by my office, one in the shop by the door, and one in the laundry room as I come in the house. And I do find myself catching my eyes, looking at the green, making sure the needle's there. So you should be checking it relatively often. Also, in the commercial police, you know, you probably have more of a chance of coming across a fire in a commercial situation. And one of the things I teach my kids is in the fight or flight, and this comes from being, you know, a fireman for years, is know where the exits are. Know where to get out. I mean, you know, you go into a theater, do you look around, do you see where the exits are? I don't know if you remember, there was a bad fire up in Rhode Island a while ago. It was quite a few years ago, but there was like 100 people that died in it because people didn't know where the exits were. They all tried to get out the way they came in, and they were stacked up at the doors. The people that survived were the ones that knew where the back exit was, where the side exit was, and they got out without a problem. So I advise all people to, you know, when you're in a place in a large situation, just take a minute, look around. Most public meetings will tell you where, you know, look around, tell you where the exits are. It's like that speech on the plane where they tell you where the exits are. Know where they are and just make note of it. You don't have to study it, but you better know where you're going to go. And if the crowd goes one way, you might want to think where you can maybe get out faster somewhere else. Now the questions are, you know, when to fight. When should you fight the fire with the extinguisher? I'm going to tell you right now that most people die in a fire situation from toxic smoke. So the question is there a lot of smoke? Am I going to breathe this smoke? Can I fight the fire without being engulfed in the smoke and the toxic smoke? Those are good questions because, you know, firefighters don't fight it without breathing apparatus. So you have to consider whether it's time to fight it or not. So if there's a lot of smoke and there's something burning that you don't know what it's burning, you're best getting to get out. So let's talk about that. Am I safe from the toxic smoke and the gases? Remember, one breath of toxic smoke and you can go down and you'll never get the extinguisher off even. So what good are you to anybody if that happens? Then you become part of the scene. And consider that a lot of things that burn out there, like your couches and your plastics, release toxic smoke. And unfortunately, TV does a poor job of educating you on this because you know, one of my favorite shows is Chicago Fire, and I enjoy it, but it's funny when you have a house burning down, the walls are burning, and, you know, it's a gas fire because it's a movie set. But, I mean, the walls are all burning up, and the person's laying in the middle of the floor, and they're still alive and they're not burned. Let me tell you, if you're in a room that's engulfed in flames all around you, you're breathing air that's heated to super high levels. If you take a breath of 1,000-degree air, your lungs inflate. I mean, they disintegrate. They burn, and you probably won't survive. The fire won't burn you. It will burn you eventually, but you'll be long gone before then. So, understand that you want to be safe. You want to pick the times, and you got to look at the. You know, are you safe to fight the fire? Because carbon monoxide is odorless. It's colorless. You may not even see it. So it may be there long before the fire. And then there's other things, other smokes that's come off. So that's the first thing: is can I safely fight it? Can I breathe? And don't think you can hold your breath because you can't. You might think you can, but you can't hold it. And the adrenaline will get pumping. And I'll tell you, used to be a fireman, like I said, and I had an air bottle. And it was supposed to give you like 40 minutes. And I'd get about 22 minutes out of it because I'd be sucking that air down. So understand that, you know, when the adrenaline gets pumping, you won't be able to control it. The true professional firemen, they control it because they've been in enough. They don't get excited and they know how to make their air last. You will not. You will want to breathe, and you'll want to breathe deep. So before attempting to fight the fire, you want to make sure you can fight it in a safe manner that way. Also, have an escape route. Don't put yourself between the fire and your exit, because if you happen to, the fire spreads, and then you find yourself trapped, that's not what you want to do. You want to put yourself where you can always run like heck from the fire. So never put your. So before you start fighting the fire, look at where you're going to go if things get out of hand, or if the extinguisher doesn't work, or if you dump the extinguisher and it's still burning. Plan your escape route. Understand where it is. And that goes back to what I said before. Know your building. Know where you're going to go. Know where you're going to get out. You don't want to get trapped by your efforts to put the fire out. And also know that if the fire is sizable enough, things might catch on fire that are across the room. I can tell you, I was in a fire in the living room once where we're fighting the fire on one side of the room and the curtains on the other side of the room just spontaneously combusted from the radiant heat from the fire. So don't think that the fire, you know, it's not magical and it's not two fires. It's just radiant heat will expand very quickly. So you want to make sure you know where you're going and make sure you know where you're going to get out. But one of the first things you've got to do, and I should have covered this first, is you want to make sure you alert the building. If you're in a public building, you're pulling the fire alarm. If you're in a home, you want to make sure if you can get out, call 911. Don't delay, because delay is probably the biggest factor in some major fires. For instance, I was in college, and we had a dorm fire, and it was a really bad fire. It was in Jefferson, I believe, and it was one of the oldest dorms in the country, and it had been refurbed many times, but the fire got in the walls, and at that time, when a fire alarm went off on campus, the campus police would answer, and they would check it out, and then they'd call the fire company if it was real. Well, this one time, they answered it, and they didn't see anything, so they reset the alarm, and then 20 minutes later, it went off again. Well, by now, the fire had gotten inside the walls and up into the attic, and we lost the whole dorm. About 400 kids, I guess, who lived in the dorm, and literally the dorm burned to the ground except for the brick. And if I remember correctly, now I may not be right 100% on this, but I remember the fire company after that, they would automatically respond to any alarm, which became a problem because they charged when it was a false alarm. And if you lived on campus anytime, you know you have a lot of false alarms. Especially, I lived in a fraternity house. I mean, I think our alarm probably went off once a week during our party, and then you'd get a full response from the local fire company. So it could get expensive. But they didn't want to delay anymore because they figured if they were there in that first 20 minutes, they may have discovered a fire with their special tools and extinguish it. So never want to delay the 911 call. Make sure you or somebody's making that 911 call, and make sure somebody's pulled the fire alarm. In a commercial building, you may have sprinklers. And that may do the job for you because the sprinkler will go off near the fire and put the fire out. So you want to make sure you have an escape route. You want to make sure you dial 911, and you want to make sure you have a way out fast. The next thing is you want to make sure you have the right extinguisher. Having a compressed water pressurized water, isn't going to help you if the fire's on the stove. One of the best ways to put a fire on a stove is to put a lid on it. Dump a bag of flour or baking soda on it. So if you don't have the right extinguisher, you'd be careful. And also, even with the chemical extinguisher, which is probably the right extinguisher to use for a grease fire, you can end up blowing the grease all over the room. Be careful, because if you blow it on yourself and you think, oh, that's not going to happen, but if you blow it on yourself, it can hit the wall, the backsplash, come back at you. The oil will burn you. So you got to make sure you have the right angle, you have the right opportunity to put it out. And you want to limit the damage. That's the last of your worries. But you don't want to push the fire into the cabinets and cause more damage than, a bacon fire on a frying pan. There's no sense in ruining your $1,000 cabinets because you have a small fire in the frying pan. And then also rely on your instincts. Your instincts tell you to leave. Yeah, trust them. That's what the fire company's for. So and they train for that. They train hourly to fight fires. So don't pretend that you can know everything. If you trust your instinct, evacuate the building, make sure your family is safe, and get out. A lot of times a fire extinguisher is only used in a case of emergency to get you out of the house. It's nice. I keep one in the closet next to my bed so I could use it going down the stairs if I had to get my kids to get out of the house. You let the firefighters. Remember, the firefighters have equipment, they have training, and they have experience that you never will. So don't try to be the hero, and don't rely on TV either, because you can't flip your collar up and say, you can't hold a towel up to your mouth and think you're going to go running through a fire. It doesn't, remember, it is TV. It doesn't work that way. And my phone is going off. Look at that. That's the first time I did that. I thought I turned it off. I must have turned it on for you. Okay. Let's see where we are. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple guys that survived the fire that I think you'd be quite impressed with that do a motivational speaking today. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The U.S. economy was churning out jobs last month. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
The Labor Department says around 263,000 new jobs were added in April. That was well more than the analysts' estimates of 185,000 to 190,000. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate fell to 3.6%, and that's the lowest level since December of 1969.
A New York Times story is providing some insight into an FBI counterintelligence investigation of the 2016 Trump campaign. Vice President Mike Pence says transparency is key and we need to figure out what's going on here.
As the Attorney General said when he testified before Congress, there was spying. We need to understand why there
was. Were you
spying? Whether there was a sufficient predicate. Well, I think we need to find out.
Pence was speaking there on Fox News. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Okay, I'm back. I got a couple questions there, which is a first for me. So, Tammy out there, I hope the volume is better for you. I turned it up a little bit, but there's only so much we can do here. And then I think it depends on what you're listening to on streaming, how loud it comes through. One of the questions was why sprinklers are not in every home or new builds, are they required? I don't believe they're required. One of the problems that you have is water supply. I mean, many houses are on wells, so it'd be difficult to produce the volume of water to put out a fire. Many commercial buildings, when we built the addition on the high school, we had to put a 30,000-gallon tank behind the high school just to feed the extinguishers for the common areas. That wasn't even the whole building. That was the, you know, like the auditorium and the common lobby and the cafeteria. And that was just to buy time until the fire company could get there and establish a permanent water source. So the jury's still out on there. And also the cost of sprinklers in a home could increase the cost several thousand dollars. And I think it's a cost benefit. I mean, there might be more water damage than there would be lives saved because of it. I think the best thing in a home is a good smoke alarm system. And we talked about smoke alarms on another show, and we'll do some more later. But smoke alarms, you need them on each floor. You need them by the bedrooms. I recommend them inside every bedroom. And you need to shut the door to your bedroom when you sleep. A lot of people don't understand that, but if you saw the training I had today, and it showed how fast fire spread, and it started in the kitchen, and within like 6 minutes, it was fully blown fire. But yet the people with the bedroom door shut were alive and breathing, and the people with the doors open had toxic smoke in their bedrooms. So I know you want to hear your kids get a baby monitor if they're that young. If they're older, then you want the door shut. That's why bedroom doors should be shut when they sleep, because most fires happen at night that way, and it will buy you those extra minutes to open the window. The other thing is, if you open a window and your door is open and the fire is downstairs, you will suck smoke and heat into your bedroom, because the fire will be starving for heat and oxygen. And when you open your window, that's going to be the source of the heat and oxygen, and you're going to actually draw the fire up towards your bedroom, and the smoke will get you. There are situations where they found people at windows because they opened the windows, and unfortunately they didn't close the door to maybe they closed the door to the hallway, but they didn't close the door to the bathroom, and then the bathroom had another door to the hallway. So when they opened the window, the oxygen gets sucked out, and the fire got pulled in, the toxic smoke got pulled into the bedroom. So, Timmy, the reason why is I think it's a cost-benefit analysis, and also the there's a lobby out there that, you know, maybe they don't want them. The home builders probably don't want it, but and you don't see it many, but it also doesn't work like it does in the movies either. If you've ever seen in the movies where a guy in the bathroom holds a match up to the sprinkler and the sprinklers go off in the whole building, the way the sprinklers work is they're pressurized and each head will sense the heat or the intense heat and melt, and then the water will come out of that sprinkler. It doesn't come out of the whole building. It only comes out of the sprinkler that melts. Therefore, it would limit the damage. So don't think it's like the movies where the guy wants to, you know, the whole school to get wet. It doesn't work that way. And plus, the amount of pressure and water you would need to douse the whole building would be tremendous. That's the thing. And then the next question I had was, why not fire escapes in big houses? Well, that's a good question. Single-family homes don't require them. Multifamilies usually do. But they do require egress windows. That's something that people don't understand. As I do home inspections, and they say, oh, I'm going to make this into a bedroom in the basement. And I said, well, you really should have an egress window. And they say, what's an egress window? And an egress window always reminds me of P.T. Barnum. I don't know if you remember that old story. P.T. Barnum charged 25 cents to see the egress, and people paid it, and then they went out the door, and they got locked out because egress means exit. Every bedroom needs an egress window, and that means it's a window big enough to get out of. So if you make a bedroom in the basement, you need to get a window that's big enough. And the way you do that when you're in a basement and it's below grade is you actually dig a large window well, and you put a big window in, and it's a step-out window that you can actually go outside and then climb up like a set of stairs or a ladder to get out from below grade. It's nice because it makes a nice big window in the basement, but it also gives somebody who's staying down there a second egress out. I think Tammy's referring to, you know, a house that's 2.5-3 stories high. You're up that high. Do you want an egress? I tell you, if I had my kids on the third floor, I would have a rope ladder in their bedroom. That's for sure. As it was, I wanted one, but tell you the truth, they could hang out their windows and probably drop 3 or 4 feet to the ground if they hung out the window. And we talked about that. So that's another thing for you guys is talk to your kids about that. Talk to them about the escape and talk to them about how to get out of the house. They're never too young and they're never too old to hear that story of what they would do. My kids always knew, get your brother and get out. You hear the alarm, don't wait for it. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. You hear the alarm, you get your brother, and you get out. And now, I always say get your brother because, my son Matt had autism, and my biggest fear was that he would sit in his room and he wouldn't leave and he wouldn't respond to people yelling or screaming or even smoke. So the rule in our house was everybody gets Matt and everybody gets out, and that was always the rule, and hopefully we'll never, you know, I told you the story about we used it once and it wasn't really a fire, but it's something that, yeah, the fire department never gets tired of teaching it. You shouldn't get tired of trying it with your kids, and, you know, it sounds hokey, but you know what, try it some night at 10 o'clock. I don't think you need to wake them up at 2 in the morning, but maybe if they go to bed at 8, try it at 9. Wake them up and say, we got to get out, and see them respond. Or set off the fire alarm and see if they do get up, because if they're so used to it and they don't and they ignore it, that's an issue. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit today before the next break. It's about the Seton Hall fire. I got a chance to hear these guys speak, and it's amazing. Their names were – let me take a breath here because, believe it or not, I'm out of shape here. But Sean Simons and Alvaro Llanos. These are two young men. They were 18 and 19 years old, 17 and 18, actually, at the time of the Seton Hall fire. They're roommates, and they failed to get out before they got severely burned. I don't know if you remember the Seton Hall fire, but the Seton Hall fire started with two young men playing around and lighting a poster on fire, and the poster caught fire, fell down, set the couch on fire, and before you knew it, the whole floor was involved, and there was 58 people injured, and several people. I don't know if anybody was killed. I guess 3 students died and 58 people were injured. These two young men were roommates, and at first they heard the alarm. They didn't go, but then they decided to go because they didn't want to get fined because the universities were fining people who didn't respond to fire alarms. And let's be honest, how many of you have been in a hotel or in a public building and the alarm went off and you sat there thinking, it's a false alarm, I'm going to wait? Well, these two young men tell a story of waiting, and then they talk a story about not knowing which way to go because they headed towards the elevators, which weren't working, and they didn't know the secondary stairs were right around the corner from their room, which if they had remembered that they were there or they knew they were there, they could have just turned left, I believe it is, and gone down the stairs, and they would have been out. But they followed each other down the hall and got separated, and One got severely burned. Both of them got severely burned. One of them owes their life to some RAs that actually put the fire out on their back on the stairwell and got them out. But they tell a story. It's a remarkable story because they tell a story of hope and recovery and planning, though. And they go around and speak to upcoming seniors in high school and college students about the situation and about how to respond. I mean, you just don't ignore.
Sorry, I got to check something. Just looking at
it. You have to check. You have to know your way out. I mean, their point was, know the multiple ways out. They don't hold any ill grudge against the two persons that were convicted of setting this fire. Two of which, one served 28 months and one served 34 months in a juvenile detention center. This after lying about it and setting fire to it. But they don't hold a grudge against them, which is amazing. But what they are upset about is they never received an apology about it. So you've heard the story of the RA that saved people's lives and that thing. But these two young men gave this speech, and they have a little video they show, and they wrote books about it. And if you ever get a chance, let me just see if I get the official name here. But it's After the Fire, A True Story of Heroes and Cowards. And it's pretty amazing. It's Sean Simons and Alvaro Llanos. Most of them went through multiple surgeries after the fire. But, I think it's got to have an impact on rising seniors going to college, because here they're telling the students, I went to college and they told us about the safety, and they told us about the stairwells, and they told us about this, and they told us about that. And you don't listen to it. You think you know everything. You're 19 years old. You think you know everything. And little do you know nothing, right? I mean, you'll find out years later that, you knew nothing, but you thought you did. But when these guys tell the story and then they're sitting there and you're looking at their faces and their hands and their necks and they're not holding any grudge and they're moving on with their lives, they're getting married, they're having families. And after that devastating thing, and it's all about a fire, and it's all about something as simple as people think that, the fire wouldn't get out of control. And here it was. It was a poster. There was no accelerant used. The article says there was no accelerant used, yet the carpet in the hallway was crystallized. So you can imagine how fast that happened. One of the things that came out of that whole story was that they did sprinkler all the dorms in New Jersey. So now all the dorms are sprinklered. I believe all of them are, even the ones that are retrofitted. I think they had years to do that. So hopefully we'll never see a tragedy like that again. But I've been in buildings that had sprinklers, and they were still burning, guys. So don't think this because it has a sprinkler, it can't burn, because it can. Let me just see here. I'm a little short here today. But So that's a story that if you want to look it up, it's, like I said, I'm going to repeat the name here for you guys. I'll find it here sooner or later. But they spent many months in St. Barnabas, and they rose out of it. But when my kids went away to college, I showed them, when we went to the dorms, I told them, look for the exits and understand to listen to the alarms. And even this day when I traveled and I spent a lot of nights in Marriott's, and there are a couple that I delayed a little bit. But when the alarm went off, I always started moving towards the door. Maybe I was moving a little slower, but I got up, I put my pants on, I put my shoes on. And I'd start heading to the door, and in probably 9 out of 10 times that it's happened, the alarm would reset before I would even get to the door. But and they'd announce that it's okay. But there were quite a few times where, I'm out in the middle of the parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning, and, the fire company rolls up, and it turns out to be nothing. But, the one time it's not, you don't want to take for granted. And that's the other thing, is don't think you're going to fight the fire with the hose in the hotel either, because if you don't know what you're doing with the extinguisher, you sure as heck don't know what you're going to do with a hose and whether it will reach it or how to do it. There's also the technique of the fire extinguisher. How many people know how to use it? It's a very basic. I'm going to use it as pass. It's pull the pin, aim the sweep. I get you the instructions. There's a neat little fight or flight there. You want to know how to you pull the pin, you point it at the fire, and then you sweep it side to side. So basically, you got to know where the pin is. You got to know how to pull it. First of all, you got to be able to hold it. So don't buy an extinguisher that's too big for you to hold. If you're, you know, a small person, man or woman, and you don't think you can handle a big one, get a smaller one. The kitchen ones are typically smaller because of the kitchen fires. And by the way, I think the numbers today were 60% of house fires start in the kitchen. They start related to cooking or baking or something in the stove. So understand that that's where most of them are going to start. And then what you want to do is point, pull the pin, aim it at the fire, and then sweep side to side on the base of the fire. Don't spray the foam. Don't spray the air. Don't spray the smoke. Spray the base of the fire. Okay, we're going to take a little break here, and then we'll be back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right. I had some input from Tammy again. So thank you out there, Tammy. I'm glad you're listening. And I know you have a daughter getting ready soon for college. So it's interesting that you bring that up. But that's something you know, all of you should have that conversation with your children as they go away to school, because realize this is the first time they'll be away from you and something that they probably always depended on you. So make sure that they know about their exits. They know about, especially, you know, they're going to go to parties, and they're going to go to parties in some places where, you know, it might be in the basement of a frat house. Understand they're going to put themselves in dangerous positions, but teach them to know their way out and to know what they're going to do. And it doesn't take much to get in the habit of doing it if you do it with them. I mean, my kids, my daughter, since I became an inspector, she sings, you know, Inspector Larry to the tune of Inspector Gadget. But she knows that when I go into a room, a crowded room or a room, I'm looking at the exits, I'm looking at the fire extinguishers, I'm looking at whether it has sprinklers. It's a habit. But and I'm not expecting every kid to be that way. But if they know, like when you go to their dorm room and you see that the elevator's there, but you show them the second set of stairs, not the ones near the elevators, because everybody's going to run to where the elevators are, and they're going to take that staircase. So that one's going to be crowded, and that one may be compromised. So show them where the secondary one is. Show them where the extinguishers are. Some people equip their kids with their own smoke alarms when they go to college. So I know some people that take them when they go to hotels. They hang it on the front. They hang it on the back of the door. I saw it in the Sky magazine. I thought that was an interesting idea to travel with your own smoke alarm. It's early detection. That's the best bet, guys. You're not going to be the towering inferno and blowing the water tank and putting the fire out. You want to get your butt out and let the professionals do what they do. You don't want to become a victim. So that's what that says. Let's talk a little bit about something I learned today that was interesting in the training on the fire. But asbestos came up, and we talked about asbestos a little bit. And how most things in life are long-term exposure. Radon's long-term exposure. Lead tends to be long-term exposure. But asbestos can be a single exposure. So if you have asbestos in the house, don't disturb it. Single breathing of the fibers, one hook. One piece of asbestos that hooks onto your lungs inside can have a dramatic effect, and it might be years later, it might be 10 years, it might be 20 years, it might be 30 years later that it affects you, and you'll never know the cause. So it's not like you can say, oh, yeah, I should have listened to Larry. You know, you're never going to know, but understand that asbestos, it's fine if it's not friable, but I've been in situations where we're looking at it in the basement, and we're saying, well, that might be asbestos pipe insulation, and people are picking at it. And now I know that if they start doing that, I should put my respirator on right away. And I travel with a HEPA filter, double panel respirator just for that reason. I was in a crawl space the other day that I had to wear it because of the microtoxins down there. The mold was so thick that it'll make you sick. Best case, it'll make you sick. Worst case, it'll get you infected with something. But asbestos, guys, don't fool around with it. If you have it, get the professionals in there. Don't pick at it. Don't breathe it. And we'll go from there. So that's what I got today. We'll do some things coming up next week. Like I said, we have Archie Fisher from Mortgage Company. He's going to be talking about mortgage loans, points. One of the things I found this generation, the next generation, a lot of them don't understand what a mortgage is and what commitment it is and what residual income is, what points are, what the PMI is. And maybe Archie can shed some light on that. He's a pretty good guy, a friend of mine that I've met over the last year, and he can explain to people what they need to do and what advantages they can get together to get their mortgage and how to do it right. And we're trying to avoid the 2008 crash because we don't want people getting $500,000 mortgages that can't afford them either. So we want people to get their homes that they dream of and be able to pay for them and not kill themselves doing it. One of the things I'm glad about is I bought a house, and it's a relatively smaller house compared to what I could have bought, and I'm kind of glad I did. Along the way, I wish I bought a bigger one, but then now I'm kind of glad I didn't because I like the fact that it's small. And I say small, but it's 2,000 square feet, but it's not, I wanted to, I looked at the big mega mansions, and I could have afforded it then, but now I'm kind of looking back, and it's probably better that I didn't. And my wife and I would probably live in a smaller house if we could, or we could find one that was right. The following week, we have Viking Pest Control coming on. Viking Pest Control, again, we're going to talk about pests. We're going to talk about chemicals. We're going to talk about how to treat them. We're going to talk about termites and carpenter ants, carpenter bees, things that do damage to your house, things that don't do damage that are nuisance. Maybe we'll even talk about stink bugs and what you can do about it. I don't know about you, but I hate the damn things. I got one last night. It was flying around my lamp, and it flew right into my drink. I had a cup of coffee next to my desk, and it just landed right in it. It kind of bummed me out because I had dumped the whole thing. And then you're afraid to kill them because you're afraid when you squish them, they stink. So I capture them, and I throw them in the toilet, and I watch them flush away because I hate the smell of them. And I guess they're called stink bugs for a reason, right? And then the following week, I think we're going to have the following week, I'm hoping for an interior designer. This woman is an interior designer. She's a fan of Joanna Gaines, so, a lot of shiplap and stuff like that. But she'll be on to talk about what you can do in your house, what you can do on a limited budget, what you can do if you're planning to sell, and go from there. It's interesting that, we'll have a designer on to talk about things like that. And some of the things that you can do that, under budget. Not everything has to be $1 million budget to redesign things. And I think she'll be a great guest, and I'll have more on her next week. And with that, Tammy out there, you're getting your kids ready for school. Have that conversation. Have the kid, and if you have small kids today, encourage you. Have the conversation. Take them to the fire prevention week when the fire company has that thing in October. One of the things I did very early on, my kids, I took them to the trailer. They had that trailer where they had to go inside and they had to pretend they were sleeping, and they rang the alarm and they made fake smoke, and then they had to crawl out and they had to crawl across the floor, and they had to crawl up the ladder and down the side of the house, the trailer. It's important. It might, the chances are it might never come to be, But the chance, the one in a million that you win the lottery and that you have a fire and you have smoke condition in your house and they know what to do, you'll be thanking your lucky stars that you took the time to do that. It sounds corny. I mean, I was a fireman doing that, but it's impressive. And when the kids, and they learn and they remember, don't think they don't. They know more. My father used to say that your kids will learn more from what you do than what you say. So if you show them that you practice it and that you pay attention to it, they too will grow up paying attention to it. And if you ignore the alarm in the hotel, guess what your kids are going to do in the dorm? They're going to ignore the alarm. So don't be one of those. Be one of the ones outside freezing your butt off. Maybe you'll meet somebody there. I met some interesting people standing in the parking lot freezing my butt off while waiting for the fire company to clear the hotel. It's something that's a nuisance, but it's something that happens. So with that, I'm hoping you guys have a great weekend. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, Tammy. Appreciate the questions. That's an interesting thing. Hopefully, I'll have a guest next week. I'm sorry my guest fell through this week, but we'll go from there. Thanks again. This is Larry McAtee from Home Team Inspection. Remember, if you need an inspection on your home or your friends, give them my name and number. I love to do the inspection. I love to educate people, and I love to tell them about their home. Every house has a story. The good, the bad, and the ugly, but we want to learn about it. You want to know what you're buying, and remember, you'll spend less time in a house that you're buying than you will a car you're buying. So the inspection is an important part about it to make sure that you get somebody that looks at it, that is trained to look at it, and that looks at houses. I mean, I looked at 12 houses this week, so guess what? I'm looking at quite a few of them more than you will be, and I can find the things that you need to find. So remember, Home Team, the number is 973-547-7748. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The economy is still going strong in April as the economy added 260,000 jobs. The unemployment rate also fell to a 49-year low of 3.6%. Vice President Mike Pence on the economy.
You know, what people are witnessing is that the agenda that President Trump ran on and that we've been delivering on over the last 2 years is working for every American.
President Trump says the U.S. is fully behind the people of Venezuela. Speaking at the White House yesterday, President Trump condemned the brutal regime of Nicolas Maduro. He also spoke about the situation on Fox News.
What's happening in Venezuela, said, when you look at 20 years ago, it was one of the wealthiest countries in the world, if you think about it. And now they don't have food and they don't have water and people are dying from hunger. It's a very, very serious situation.
The president did not rule out military intervention as well. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin discussed the Mueller report during a phone call today. Sanders says the phone call lasted about an hour. She also noted they talked about other topics, including Venezuela and North Korean nuclear negotiations and trade. It was a marathon reading of the names of over 27,000 children who were reported abused in Dallas County, Texas in 2018. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Volunteers read the names of the children with their identities protected as Jane Doe and John Doe were used in place of their real names. Leah Caprice, Ms. Texas, took part in the event sponsored by the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center.
Jane Doe, age 17. John Doe, age 13. Jane Doe, age 6. Jane Doe, age 13. John Doe, age 7. Jane Doe, age 6. Jane Doe, age 8.
I'm John Clemens.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800.